Welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You know, didn't we start the show arguing about Sirianni? How did we get to Hurts?
You know how we got to Hurts.
I know. Why blame Hugh for this?
Well, it's not my fault.
You did put Jalen on the hot seat when I tried to put Nick on the hot seat.
I didn't put him on the hot seat. I said I think that
it's more
it would
on
probably be more on Jalen.
Yeah.
Because I was reading the tea leaves.
I know. And I generally agree with you. I also think Nick's on the hot seat. Plus, you tried to bench Jalen yesterday for Andy Dalton.
There's also just a severe amount of Jalen Hurts insecurity.
It really
started when our caller, Xavier, came up and yelled at us about Jalen.
Yeah, it is.
We were talking about Nick, guys.
The amount of Jalen Hurts insecurity in this town is
ridiculous.
It's an epidemic.
Well, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's outrageous. All right, your phone calls, 215-592-9494. We will also react to some of the things that Mike Ganzi said yesterday, introduced as the new Sixers president of basketball operations. We're going to carry the Sirianni press conference, bottom of the hour. I feel like after we put him on the hot seat for 2 hours, we probably should let the guy talk. So Sirianni...
Yeah, let him defend himself.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he has to today, but we're going to have his press conference. It's the first Sirianni press conference since the AJ trade. So we'll have that Eagles practice today, mandatory mini camp. Hugh, why don't you, because we're going to have Sirianni our next segment, why don't you give everyone the third clue now? We usually do it around 12:30, but we're doing a little different today. So throw the third clue at everyone so they could narrow down Hugh's clues.
This is the layup. Y'all ready for the layup?
Mm-hmm.
Played an iconic villain, and he was bad at it.
Okay, so we have an Oscar-winning actor, hasn't made a good movie in a decade, played an iconic villain, and he was bad at it.
Yeah, he was pretty bad.
All right, there is your third clue for Hugh's clues. Bruce is in D.C. Bruce!
Kyle, Joe, Hugh, and the crew, what's going on?
What's up,
Bruce,
man?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I cannot call it. I cannot call it at all. And, Joe, thank you for coming up with this subject because, you know, I have been chomping at the bit about Sirianni and having an opportunity to talk about what he's done for the Eagles so far. And shout out to Hugh earlier for, you know, standing your ground on this whole Jalen thing. That was an amazing dialogue of back and forth. You know, I like to see you get fired up every now and then, Hugh.
I don't like it though, man, because it's just, you know what I mean.
Any ground on OG Wade though. He totally let him bully.
No, because OG
as a moderator, Hugh's lost.
He just can't moderate.
No, because he steered the conversation where he wanted
but
it to go.
But as a moderator, has to steer it back.
But there was no actual debate. He was just pointing out his facts.
That was the absurdity of it. There was no debate.
Yeah, right. And it was a good strategy by OG to appeal to you.
Yeah.
And say this guy's a pushover as a moderator. OG commandeered the whole debate.
Yeah. I'm not going to win.
It was one of OG's best, most ridiculous calls.
It was, it was good.
He said nothing of substance, but it was good. Yeah, yeah.
But it was a good strategy.
Yeah. Good job.
Oh, man. but anywho.
What you got, man?
No. Okay, so look, you know, I think this is a clear-cut case of Sirianni. You know, one of the things that really just gets under my skin, and I can't stand it, hear Eagle fans say this, well, Sirianni just wins. He just wins. You know, no, that's a pile of dog dookie. Because, you know, the thing is, the truth of the matter is that he is a glorified cheerleader. I could not stand the fact that he hired Petullo right after the Super Bowl. I was calling up and raising hell about that. Because here's the problem with Sirianni, is that he does not have a strategic bone in his body, okay? and here's the problem. Okay, you don't have to be, you know, when you compare him to other CEO, quote-unquote CEO coaches, okay, you know what they do, but you the mark of a good coach, you don't have to have all the X's and O's, but strategically, you should be able to solve problems. You're the ultimate puppet master in steering the team towards success or getting them out of trouble. And I cannot recall how many times I've scratched my nails against the chalkboard last year when Sirianni was asked how many times. Oh, well, what's the problem here? How do we need to fix? Or what's, you know, as far as the offensive issues? And he says he doesn't have an answer. And he did it a couple of times before. That dude doesn't know what the hell he's doing, and I'm gonna tell you, I will not. He needs to be careful this year. He's definitely on the hot seat because if they have anything close to what they had last year, and making it to the playoffs is not enough. okay? You lose in the first or the second round with the type of talent that he has. I think that he's gone. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're gonna move on from him.
I agree, Bruce. I think you said it well. I agree, Bruce. What's your guess for Hughes Clues? Who's he talking about?
You know what? I missed the first two clues because I was just in and out of a meeting, so I'm just like drawing a blank on an answer. I usually have an answer. So.
Bruce, we love you. Yeah, we appreciate it. No problem. Again, Bruce in D.C. in very important meetings. We don't know exactly what Bruce does. We know it's important in Washington, D.C. Nope.
Doesn't have time to do like any extracurricular things. He just got to get in. Call Nick Sirianni a fraud back to the important Pentagon meeting.
I just love that in between highly important things, he's listening to us yell about Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy.
It's like, let me wait on hold. I got to call the head coach a fraud. And then back to the United States government.
You know what? I was thinking about this when Bruce made his point about Sirianni. It does feel like, because it's hard to say exactly what Nick and Jalen do at a very, very high level from a skill perspective, right? Like Jalen at one point was a very skilled runner. At those days, probably are past him. Mm-hmm. And he has had a very good deep ball in the NFL. He didn't have it quite last year. We'll see if it comes back this year. And with Nick, it's not like he hangs his hat on offense, right? So, Hugh, isn't their whole thing wins? The two of them together.
Yeah, win a game.
And that's why I wonder how the Eagles would react. And it hasn't happened. I mean, to their credit, both of them, they have not had a losing season, right? They have 9 wins is the baseline for the Sirianni-Hurts combination. 9, 14, 11, 14, 11, right? That's been the 5 years. Hugh, I just wonder if their whole thing is that they're winners, what happens if or when they don't have a winning season? Because that undercuts the whole thing, right? That's their whole thing. They are winners. That both Sirianni and Jalen together win. If they don't have that, how do the Eagles react? Because that's what they bring to the table.
That means probably more than likely the magic's gone.
Yeah, I think
that's
right.
You know what I mean? And it's, you know what resonates with me throughout all of this? And this is kind of where I stand steadfast in my thinking, mm-hmm. is that Jalen, he's always said, he doesn't care what it looks like as long as he's winning.
Right.
Now, doesn't care what it looks like. And he sacrificed, for a lot of people, he sacrificed stats to win football games. And that's very, very noble. And that's where I think that if they're still winning, and if it looks, say for instance, you know, we were having a conversation, we were talking about, mm-hmm. okay, what does better look like? If they're winning and it's just incrementally better, then Jalen's the quarterback. Now, in order for Jalen not to be the quarterback, two things have to happen. This offense has to look disjointed. And they have to start losing. And it has to be now how we get to whomever's going to be the quarterback. Those two things are going to happen. Because if it looks disjointed and they're still winning football games, then that resonates. The fact that, you know, it's ugly, but we're winning games. That's gonna be hard to move on from Jalen. Now, if he's not playing well and the offense is struggling, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. Let's go to Carl in Maple Shade, up on WIP. Hey, Carl.
Yo, guys. Thanks for bringing me in.
You got it, Carl. What are you feeling?
Let's go straight to the top. Mm-hmm. If I'm Jeffrey Lurie, the first thing I want to fix is no security in the offensive coordinating position. It has turned over so many times that is my first thing I want to fix. And the way I do that is my head coach calls the plays.
So you want Sirianni to call the plays?
Apparent.
Yeah. Mannion?
No.
Mannion.
It's gonna. There's an heir apparent in the waiting in the wings.
I hear you.
It's not Nick. It's not Nick. And you've got to put a stop to this turnover of offensive coordinators.
I agree.
It's nearly not fair to the quarterback. I mean, I don't use it as an excuse, but it's a daggone good reason.
Carl, I think you're correct in that the only way to get off this carousel of a new coordinator every year, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, is to have the head coach call the plays. I mean, that, and that's what they've had here a lot over the years, and it's worked, right? Like, that's what they wanted with Chip. That's what they did with Andy. I mean, that's what Doug did. It's what they hired Nick to do, and then, you know, a month and a half into his first season, he gave it off to Steichen, and we just rode that for a year and a half. But that is the ideal, right? It's why the Rams offense, we don't talk about them changing because it's McVay. It's why we don't talk about the 49ers offense changing. It's Shanahan. That is the ideal. I'm with you, Carl.
Yeah, I mean, we have got it to work out with that rotation. That's that circus of rotation. But we got to start establishing a foundation of a solid coordinator. I'm telling you, there's a head coach, a parent. They're waiting to see what this offensive coordinator does. If he links up, he's next man in.
I think you're right. Carl, what do you got for us? Guess for Hughes Clues for the Mylotta tickets.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. That's a fun guess. Not it, but a fun guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty good guess.
All right.
Has he won an Oscar?
He did. Yeah. He won one for...
Panther?
No, the one that just came... Sinners. I think he won one for Sinners.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he did play two roles, I guess.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm a big fan of Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, he's blowing up.
Yes.
You know, they're I don't know if they started shooting it, but I Am Legend 2.
Is he...
It's him and Will Smith there.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Both. All right, that's awesome. All right, before we go back to the phones here, let's hear a little sampling of Mike Ganzi yesterday. Mike Ganzi, this segment is sponsored by Bet365. All right, Mike Ganzi spoke yesterday, and we reacted a little bit to it with Rhea, but we didn't get to hear him and talk about it ourselves, you know, after hearing him. Let's talk, this is an interesting one. Talking about being a connector, they asked him, you know, kind of get to know Mike Ganzi. Here's what he said.
I ran the draft in Cleveland, so I was really big on the player personnel and the valuation, but I'm a connector. You know, I think I build relationships with everyone in the building, all the way from our star player to the janitor. You know, I think I have an open door policy. People can come to me, ask questions, but, you know, we're going to have alignment throughout the whole building. You know, like me and Nick are going to collaborate every day. You know, Jameer, Prosper, our whole staff, all the coaches, players, like it's going to be a great environment to be in Philly. I'm big on having fountains, not drains in the building. I want people sucking out the life of the building. Like, I want people to get in their car in the morning, drive to the facility, and be like, you know, I get to see my family. You know, like, we got to have a fun environment, and we are going to have a fun environment because everyone in this building, we see each other more than we do our own families. So we got to lean on each other. You know, we're going to have tough conversations. We're going to disagree to agree, but we're gonna all be aligned. We're all going to be collaborative, and we're going to have a lot of fun working together.
Mm. So, look, he sounds like a nice guy. He's put in the work. He didn't just get here after 1 year in a front office, right? He worked 15 years for the Cavaliers throughout their front office. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a very interesting hire, and I think in the tandem of Bob Myers, it could work. But, Hugh, does he know he's not in Cleveland anymore? Alignment, collaboration, and fun? That's not the Sixers. I mean, that's not the front office Josh Harris is running.
Not yet, it's not.
Well, not yet.
There's a lot to unpack with what he said.
Yeah. It had a lot of first day of school vibes. Like,
well, it did.
We're gonna have a great school year. It's gonna be awesome.
It had a lot of innuendo too.
What'd you hear? What'd you hear?
When I heard we're gonna have alignment throughout the building, mm-hmm. That was a direct shot at the players and the training staff.
Mm.
The direct line of communication. Like for whatever reason. It felt like there was nobody was on the same page in the building.
Yes. It felt like that a lot around here.
It felt like, and I'm just using this as an example, not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but it just felt like with the Joel Embiid situation,
yeah.
It felt like one person thought one thing and then somebody else thought something different.
Well, even when he was going to play, he decides when he's – all right, so let's hear his answer on Joel, the Q&A here, because this – I thought this was interesting, the way he answered this question.
First of all, are you and the organization still committed to having Joel Embiid around next year or in the future? And two, if so, how do you get to where you want to be for a team that can't really rely on having your best player around and making that much money?
Yeah. Well, obviously, we have Joel. You know, I've had a lot of good conversations with him so far. Excited to meet with him this week. But, you know, with him and the roster we have, you know, that's who we have. You know, we got to get those guys on the floor. We got to create an identity and get them to play basketball. I think the group that we have, you know, Joel, obviously. So we just want to get them going and, you know, we're excited to see what we can build.
He started the answer, well, we have Joel. I mean, It didn't sound to me like he was thrilled about it, but he sounded resigned to it, Hugh. Like, we can't get rid of him. He's here. I didn't sign him. We have him. We got to make the best out of this.
Yeah, and it was something else he said, I think, was after that. Talked about playing together and being healthy. So that was another thing that he said. You know, hey, we got to see what we got because we have to play healthy. It was a few things that it really resonated with me when he talked at the podium. He talked about being good at something. We're not good at anything. And he was like, most teams that are
identity,
in the finals.
Identity.
Being good at either defense or offense.
Yeah.
We're not good at that. And in order to do that, we need guys to be on the court. So I feel like there's going to be an edict to go out and whatever rehab that Joel is doing. And I'm using him as an example because he's the guy that missed, we know, what's his name? He was on that Deer Analyst, so he missed a little bit of time. Paul George,
yeah.
So, but Joel missed a lot of time. So he's going to probably try to figure out how to get him as healthy as possible.
Yeah, it was interesting hearing from yesterday. It feels like he didn't try to make this sound like it's a quick thing. They got work to do here.
Process.
Yeah.
Not to use that word, but you know.
But it kind of is. All right.
My sweet summer child.
He doesn't know what he's getting himself into. What is it? Alignment, collaboration, and fun? I haven't had fun with the Sixers in a long time. Fun. All right. 215-592-9494. With Bet365 early payout, you win even if they lose. Get paid out instantly when your team goes up big, even if they blow the lead later. Bet365, winning is everything. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Pennsylvania. We'll come back. Your calls and Nick Sirianni ahead of Eagles mandatory minicamp on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
That's your boy.
It's your guy.
Coach Bubblehead.
Super Bowl winning Bubblehead, Hugh.
Bubblehead coach.
That has a ring. Let's not forget that, Hugh. All right, welcome back.
Yeah, you got a ring.
He has a ring.
Yeah, no, I said I ain't got one.
Oh, no. Midday show, Hugh Douglas show, Julia. All right, we're going to carry the Nick Sirianni press conference as the Eagles get set for mandatory OTA say. So, a couple things, Hugh, as we have the Sirianni press conference coming up in just a few minutes. Two things I'm interested in. One.
What you got?
Well, the first one would be this. Does he give you a more honest AJ answer now that he's officially out the door? Like, does he have anything besides, hey, we thank AJ for the 4 years, good luck in New England? Or does he have a little bit of some real stuff come out now?
No, he'll probably keep it PC. Hey, he was a tremendous player.
No, I want to hear some real stuff.
We need to move on. Wish him nothing but the best.
You should troll everybody like they did when they said AJ's an Eagle and just be like, AJ's a Patriot.
That would be funny, actually. That's pretty good. The other thing, and I think this will be answered when they get on the field today, is Jalen Carter there today? Jalen Carter has not been, from what I understand, at the Eagles' voluntary OTAs, which is totally his right? That's why they negotiated the CBA. Voluntary is voluntary.
Yeah.
Hugh, today and tomorrow are mandatory. So anyone that's not there the next 2 days, it's a story. Right now, if they have some of these guys could be excused from something mandatory, but they have to be excused. Anyone that doesn't show up today and tomorrow, that becomes a story.
You got a problem.
Yes.
You got a problem.
I anticipate Jalen Carter will be there, but that to me is a major story.
You're waiting to see if he doesn't.
Well, because, you know, the question would be why, right? Like
he want to get paid.
He wants a contract, and he doesn't have one yet as he goes to his fourth year in the NFL. So mandatory minicamp for the Eagles today, tomorrow. We will carry the Nick Sirianni press conference coming up as soon as he gets to the podium. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Are a couple polls up today. Are you putting Nick Sirianni on the hot seat to start the season? Yes or no? Hugh, how do you think people voted?
78% no.
Very close. 70% no.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, 70% no?
Because they see it the way that you see it, you know?
Yeah. But why they see it that way is my question.
Well, because there was a rift between the quarterback and the receiver. Mm-hmm. I'm just simplifying it.
Yeah.
The Eagles chose the receiver. Now the quarterback has to step up.
I know, but what's Nick's role in all this?
He's the coach. The bubblehead coach.
Well, he's another common denominator, though.
Yes, he is.
Well,
everything's changed but Jalen and Nick.
Well, this is me recklessly speculating, right? And I feel like because his boy got fired, right, they were like, hey, you know, Nick probably went up and off, hey, man, you know, I'm recklessly speculating. I don't know if this is true.
Did he slap the toe?
Well, no, he went up there and be like, hey, man, Jalen going renegade.
he bugging. They tripping. You know, something going on between him and AJ. Yada, yada, yada. And the higher-ups are like, well, what are you talking about? We don't see that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What's going on?
Yeah.
And then it got so bad that AJ running upstairs talking about, we want out. But they're looking at Jalen, and they don't see what everybody else is seeing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they get rid of AJ. Mm-hmm. They say, okay, we don't have time for all this. We don't know what's going on. Nobody's telling the truth. So we're gonna get rid of AJ. So now it's on Jalen.
Well, yeah. I guess the way I see it is, like, isn't that usually firing your boy? Isn't that usually the first step to, like, okay, you're next?
Well,
like, these are the scapegoats. AJ's gone now. Petula's gone now. Now the attention is on Jalen. Sure, you're right. But it's also on Nick.
Well, I think it's two things that are going on. Like, Nick falls in lockstep with upstairs, right? Now, Jalen might have me recklessly speculating. Don't know this for sure. But, you know, when he slapped Petula across the lips, he told the organization that he wasn't a big fan of Petula.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So that's why they got rid of Petula.
Is that the message that sends?
Well, I'm just saying. That's what it kind of feels like. Recklessly speculating. I don't know this to
always,
be true.
Always, always.
And then, you know, Jalen went upstairs and was like, yo, Howie, this cat right here don't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I had to slap him across the lips and, you know, we need to get him up out of here. And there was never any real indicator that he did know what he was doing or the quarterback didn't like him.
Yeah.
The quarterback's the Super Bowl winning quarterback, MVP quarterback. You're rolling with the quarterback. So now the quarterback has to prove to you that he was well worth all the drama.
I'm going to throw a question at you. The answer's got to be 2, 1, or 0.
Okay.
If they miss the playoffs this year, of Nick and Jalen, how many are back? Both would be 2. 1, just one of them, or neither of them. And just for context, 18 teams missed the playoffs last year, right? 14 teams make it, 18 teams miss it. How many of the 18 teams that missed the playoffs are running back the same coach and quarterback? What's your guess on that?
Oh,
I have the number.
You know what, Joe?
18 teams missed the playoffs. How many of those 18 ran back the same head coach, same quarterback?
I'm going to say 2.
It's a little more than that. It's 8. So 10 got rid of at least one of the 2.
And
8 brought, now, to be fair, Chiefs are one of those, right? That was a, you know, Andy and Mahomes are, they're not going anywhere. The Bengals are one of those. Burrow was hurt a lot of the year. So a lot of these are quarterbacks that were hurt, and then they brought them back with the coach. But 10 of the 18 moved on from at least one of the 2. So you snuck an answer in there, though. You said 1, right, Hugh? Mm-hmm. They missed the playoffs, 1 of Jalen or Nick are gone? That's what you said?
That was my first thought.
Okay.
But I feel like they're both going to be back.
Even if they miss the playoffs? No shot!
I think both they're going to be back. I think they're both going to be back.
Not if they miss the playoffs.
I don't think, well, if I had to pick one, it would probably be the quarterback, because I think Nick's going to be here.
I tend to agree with you that if one is the answer, I think Nick survives one extra year besides Jalen. Because there's not a money component or a contract component to the Nick part of it.
Well, hold on. At that point, what the hell is the point?
Well, that's on? A very... Well, then the answer could be 0 well,
because
of the 2. Both
because,
are gone.
Well, if Jalen's gone, then the next step is what quarterback do we want?
Yep.
Who cares what Nick's opinion is on that, if I'm being completely honest with you?
I didn't even ask him.
Well, I'm serious.
It's
Mannion's offense, right? Or it's supposed to be.
This season.
It might be 0 if they miss the playoffs. Neither are back.
If Jalen's gone, there's nobody to conform the offense around yet, right? So you have the scheme, and you don't have somebody to fit into that scheme. So then it becomes, who does Mannion want?
Well, 2020, they missed the playoffs for the first time under Doug.
This season
has. And they've knocked both the quarterback and coach out of here.
This season has the makings of being real messy.
With the Dalton stuff.
How are you talking about? I'm being messy. I'm not being messy. I'm being logical.
You started talking about playing Andy Dalton.
But y'all don't, you know what? See, now, y'all talk about being in your feelings. Y'all were so in your feelings yesterday.
About what?
Everything. Just so passionate. You're being passionate fans.
What did we talk about yesterday? I forget.
We're just talking about. And I was trying to tell you.
Oh, Jalen.
Yeah, I'm just talking about. No, I'm just trying to tell you.
You're the one that benched Jalen on the show.
I didn't bench him.
All right, let's go to Sirianni.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing? I think a couple of Januaries ago, you referred to AJ as the best receiver the city's ever seen. How disappointing is it for you that it ended in the way that it did, considering how highly you thought of him?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it was there was a lot of good years here, right? And done a lot of good things with AJ here. 2 times in the Super Bowl. I think he was all pro multiple times, Pro Bowl multiple times. And so I would say it was a good run. But really excited about that room that we have. You know, Devontae Smith has had a really good offseason, has had five good years of being an Eagle as well. Very, very productive, and excited that, you know, he's going to get extra opportunities that he works so hard to, that people convert that. You know, I'm really excited about Makai and where he is this offseason, and just his ability to catch the football, his toughness. I think that's a great addition to that room. Tay Wicks, I think he has a very unique skill set of being able to get in and out of breaks and be really efficient at the line of scrimmage. For a guy that I've coached, he has some Keenan Allen to him and to his game. Keys and Elijah, been excited to coach those guys for a long time. They have unique skill sets. You know, Keys has got extreme quickness, and Elijah, Keys has great, great speed and excellent hands. Elijah just is so quick at the top of his route. And then, you know, Darius Cooper and Johnny Wilson just have that ability to kind of be the dirty work guys that we've so valued in our offense. And I always value that in an offense of a receiver that can do some of the dirty work and then do some of the other things from that. So, you know, again, a lot of good things that have happened, and then really excited about that room.
Where did you weigh in, and what was your input on the decision to trade him?
Howie and I discuss everything. As you guys know, we talk through everything. And, so many things that he did that was good for our football team, and always will wish him the best of luck. But like I said, really excited about the guys in that room and where we are. But, you know, this is a team game, to your question. And just in every decision, you know, that I make and decisions that Howie makes, we talk to each other about it. You know, what a good teammate that I have with Howie Roseman to be able to go to battle with. That's like that with everything, you know, the offensive staff working together to come up with the best plan, the defensive staff working together to come up with the best plan. I think that's what good organizations do. And obviously the Philadelphia Eagles have been a good organization for a very long time, and I'm very grateful and thankful to be a part of that.
AJ said in an interview with Maria Taylor that he was comfortable being the one who says uncomfortable conversations with the team and other people. Do you think that's important to have on your roster, and do you feel like that's...
I think that we have those conversations very consistently. I think that happens when you have a team that's close. They're able to do that. I mean, you listen to the guys talk when, like, I kind of talked about when you get further along and you get successful teams, the Spurs, the Knicks, that, you know, common denominator, what they talk about is how close they are. That's no secret. Like when teams make it as far as we've made it, as teams make it as far, you know, into the championships of things, they talk about how close they are. And you always seem to find that they talk about, you know, because they're close, they can hold each other accountable. Again, we have hard conversations in here every day. Practice is evaluated in front of everybody, not only as a offensive group or a defensive group, but as a team. And so we set that stage as coaches to say, hey, this is so important that we're able to have these hard conversations. And then you have really good leaders on our football team that are able to do that. You know, Jalen, Saquon, Jordan, Lane, Landon, Zach, Q, Coop, Jalen, Jordan, on the defensive side, and Jalen Jordan both sides. But we have a good group of core guys that are able to have those conversations with each other, and that's been common since I've since I've been here, you know, starting with the leadership when I first got here, with Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox and Lane Johnson and Brandon Graham. And I think we've always had those leaders that have been able to do that. I think again, that's a sign of a good team that you can have guys that are willing to tell the truth to each other. And we have to set that stage of telling the truth to each other as coaches with how we go about our daily business every single day.
A lot has been made about Jalen and AJ's relationship. You've always stressed how important it is for teammates to be close. I was wondering, as the head coach of the team, if their relationship, from your perspective, was ever a problem in managing the team and impacted on the field.
No, I think, you know, again, yes, relationships are so, so important. That doesn't mean everybody – I think sometimes that can get misconstrued that everyone has to be best friends, and that's just not the case. There's a lot of guys on a football team. There's a lot of different, you know, personalities, and what has to be understood is that everybody has a common goal. And what also has to be understood is that everybody has a common goal that they need each other to accomplish, right? And so it's like, yeah, we all want to win. Yeah, we all want to be all pro. Yeah, we all want to be our second, third contract. But you also, in that, need others to help you accomplish those things. And there's no other sport, in my opinion, out there that is more that's more obvious than in football. And so, again, like, yeah, you strive to get to know each other. Like, when we talk about coming together as a football team, how do you do that? Well, there's no shortcut in the time that you spend with each other, getting to know each other, getting to know each other, what makes each other tick, why they do it, you know, what they like to do, whatever it may be. You get that through shared hardships. So only part of that is like, hey, a little time. But then part of it is you get that togetherness through shared hardships, going through tough times together. And then the other part of that is you get that togetherness from trust that's built from consistently doing what you're supposed to do on a daily basis. Man, I just trust that guy that he's going to do the right things at all times. And so relationships, togetherness, sometimes look in the sense at times of, man, that guy's in, you know, Landon was in Jordan's wedding, or Jordan's in, sometimes it looks like that. And then sometimes it's just, hey, the shared mission of the team. And I think, you know, it can look a lot of different ways, but it is so important that we all understand that we have a shared mission, and that we need each other to go about, to get to where we want to go. We need each other. Not in this sport can we do it alone. You know, if you want to do it alone, you got to pick another sport. But, you know, I say to them sometimes, I feel bad because I love the sport of tennis, but I'm like, hey, you know, this ain't tennis, right? And none of you are built to play tennis. A lot of you guys aren't built. Jake Elliott was built to play tennis, but a lot of you guys weren't built to play tennis, so you can't switch. So you need each other to get to where you want to go.
We got to go.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
All right, there it is. Nick Sirianni's press conference before minicamp, which really just became an A.J. Brown press conference.
A lot of important things in there.
Well, yeah. Was there a single question about the upcoming mandatory minicamp that starts in 15 minutes?
No, they wanted to know how the dynamic was. I thought it was pretty poignant the way that he presented it, though. I really do, and it resonated, because the bottom line is, that's what it's about. You know, you come together mm-hmm. for a common cause, and that's kind of what he was talking about. You don't always get along on Monday through Friday, Saturday, but on Sunday, that's when you come together.
So I think a couple things caught me. One, how quickly he tried to move off the AJ question to spinning how excited he is for the new wide receiving group, right? He tried to kind of spin it to today instead of just focus on the past. Couple things. I guess we're calling Da'Tavion Wicks Tay. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I picked up.
He's Tay.
He's Tay building
Wicks.
Rapport.
Yes.
You know what?
He called him. He also, before you talk about it, did you notice he compared him to Keenan Allen? That's a big comp.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen had a heck of a career.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Nick Sirianni, it's hard for us to fathom who he is, because we only see a small sample of him. The sample that we see is a bubblehead for the most part.
Well, that's
and
your
I say
words.
That with, yeah, yeah. With
I adore the guy. I think he's a good coach, but
the most affection you could say it with.
Yeah, and what he said there, it resonated with me. It's just the bottom line is this. I think he's good at what he does when it comes to building, you know, bonds with players and things of that nature. And I think that's what's important. You know, we saw it a little bit in the Hard Knocks thing when he was talking to Brandon and stuff like that. Trusting somebody, that's the bottom line. Now, what that looks like on the outside looking in is different for us. But they obviously trust him. And that's what makes him a good head coach. You know, it's thinking about Andy Reid and why I love the coach so much is, like, he used to tell some of the corniest jokes that you could ever tell that I never got, but I always laughed at him because it was awkward when he would tell him because he would start laughing. So I would laugh, too, and be like, oh,
that
coach.
That does break the ice a little bit. When
yeah, because
the guy
it's
the joke
like,
laughs.
It's like, and so when he said it, he's exactly right, man. You don't get along with all your teammates, but you respect them. And at some point, you find common ground. And that's what he was talking about. And so when he was talking about Tay, his new nickname, and when he said it, I was like, oh, but he's building rapport with him. So that's probably the biggest thing that he brings to the table.
The other thing, he said you don't have to be best friends, you know, to get along and all that kind of stuff. He also mentioned the connectivity. And he's obviously watching the NBA Finals because he talked about the connectivity of watching a team like the Knicks and the Spurs. Clearly, you could see the message he's going to have. Like, we got to come back together. Maybe we weren't all together last year. We got to get back on the same page. So there's Sirianni with, I guess, his A.J. Brown take for the past 10 minutes. And that's what that press conference became. 215-592-9494. Also, by the way, great job by our guys. Dave Uram, Elliot Shore Parks. I mean, Hugh, we got the Bulldog. We got a former Eagles Insider of the Year, Elliot Shore Parks. They brought it today, Hugh. I didn't expect anything less.
I like how Elliot kind of jumped in there. You know, people were trying to get in front of him. He kind of boxed him out a little bit. He threw a little elbows.
Well,
and
Elliot's coming
beast.
To try to win Insider of the Year again.
Yeah,
I mean, that's we're getting a big summer at Elliot. That's my prediction. Now, I don't know if he's going to take my suggestion and time Jalen's throws in the pocket in training camp, but it's going to be a big summer for Elliot. There's no question.
If he gets a stopwatch out there.
I need the stopwatch.
Oh, that'd be great.
And then he comes on and he's like, hey, listen, he was over 3 seconds today. Not good.
He has to also wear the stopwatch around his neck regularly
of
when
course.
He walks around here.
That would be awesome.
The Jefferson.
He was long talking. He starts the stopwatch.
Guy,
yeah. Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
Let's go to Kenny, who's up on WIP. Kenny.
Yo, guys, I just got this crazy vision of him with that stopwatch on. All right. So, guys, how you guys doing? I love this show, man. Let me tell you something. The callers are hot today, too, man. Every single caller got a very good point. I don't agree with them all, but very good darn points, man. What a good time to be alive in this part of the country. You,
yes.
Two thank yous, my friend. Thank you for bringing me out of my shell. You were right. Second of all, I want to thank you for making my first point. Both of these guys got to go. I'll tell you why. As far as Nick Sirianni, see, he should have handled my man AJ like you handled Xavier. When people see nonsense and you're dealing with it, the line forms on the left, and everyone's going to try to take advantage of that. So I don't think that he actually has that locker room as good as he sounded. Mm-hmm. He was just long talking. He didn't really say anything just now. What did he just say right now?
Well, that's why Hugh likes him, because he's a fellow
long-talker. You know what it was, Kenny? It was him talking about relationships and how, to me, how it's not always, it doesn't always have to be lovey-dovey during the week. You know, you find a rapport during the week, but on Sunday, that's when you find your common ground. That's what kind of resonated with me.
But you, is the message already played too much like a broke record? You know what I mean?
What message is that?
Like the same message that he's kicking. I'm sorry, I just don't.
You know what, Kenny? Not to cut you off,
too.
But I don't think so. Not yet. I hear what you're saying because, for example, with Big Red, and I remember talking to Jaws about this when we were at ESPN.
Yeah.
The message got old.
Yeah.
I don't think it's old yet. I don't think he's reached that point yet. But I hear what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You might have convinced me. I'm going to sit back and ponder that as the week goes. Listen to this. As far as Hurts, I still think Sirianni's on the hot seat for sure. Mm-hmm. I think Hurts is too, because he's in the middle of it all. He's a great quarterback, man. But if you look back at the 22 Super Bowl, everyone's hyped up. Listen, first of all, it's like the Candyman. If you say Jalen Hurts negative three times, everyone's going to come out of the woodworks, brother. And I'm not coming in to tell you Jalen Hurts is bad. He was good. But when you look at the 2022 Super Bowl, for instance, right, there's no consistency, Joe. Joe, there's no consistency from then till now. There's not. Each year changed.
Yep.
Yes, we changed this and yes, we changed that. Guess what? I painted cars for 35 years. If I pulled out a car that had a blemish on it, I was criticized. So we're all criticized on our job, right? Mm-hmm. But the major point in the 22 Super Bowl was this. His stats were way less than Mahomes, right? And Mahomes was playing on a high ankle sprain. Hurts fumbled in that game. You remember that, right?
How can we forget?
In that game.
Yeah, of course.
Right, because in sports, we remember the moment. Guys, fall down 9, get up 10. Later.
You got it, Kenny.
Hey, I have a good one. Kenny came in here and dropped the mic. Yeah.
He has the mic dropped in of his calls. By the way, Kenny says, I think he was alluding to Hugh, just quickly on this. Has the message gotten stale? I think that's where he was going, right? And you said not yet. I think this might amaze people. How many NFL head coaches do you think have been with their team longer than Nick? Like, how many are longer tenured than Nick Sirianni?
I would say, right on top of my head, I think Todd Bowles.
No, because he took over for.
Oh, that's right.
He took over for
Andy Arians.
Arians.
Andy Reid.
Andy. It's a short list, guys.
Well, John Harbaugh was, but he just got
right,
fired.
Right, so he's off that list. Yes. Tomlin was. He's off that list.
Zach Taylor.
Zach Taylor.
San Fran.
Shanahan.
Shanahan.
You guys, we're about done. Andy, McVay, Shanahan, Zach Taylor, LaFleur. That's it. That's it. He's tied for the sixth longest tenured head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, they're not long, but
they're not. It doesn't feel like he's been here that long, but in NFL standards, he's been here a very long time. I mean, 2021 to 26 is a long time in the modern NFL. It's crazy. Only five longer tenured. Our 215-592-9494. We got to give the prize away in the final hour. Those are the rules. Your calls on all the Sirianni, hot seat, Christopher Sanchez. Should he be a lock one on the top 11? It's also list season. NFL Top 100 countdown is going to start soon. We're going to try to guess who will be the number one overall player on the list this year. And where do we think Jalen Hurts comes down after being inside the top 20 last year? That's all next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.